answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The American people deserve to know that the public offices are not for sale and that the federal government is not being used to cover up the actions of a politically associated family. Now, I would encourage the president and his team to fully cooperate with this investigation in the interests of transparency. We are committed to getting the answers for the American public. Nothing more. Nothing less. We will go wherever the evidence takes us.
In other words, follow the money, which they certainly will. And we know pretty much where it's going to go, don't we? Now, I always tell you, don't prejudge, don't jump ahead. And I still stand by that. But you can't help but say, my gut already tells me I know the answer. Nobody's been convicted of anything. And certainly Joe Biden has not been convicted of anything related to Hunter Biden's business dealings. So far. I always love adding that. So far. It may never happen, but if they're going to really pursue it, and I don't wish the man ill health, and if he survives, he will be placed on trial for such events that amount to almost treason, selling out the country. Larry, you're going too far. Okay, all right. I made my statement, but I also told you, you make your own decision, and you make it based upon what you believe. That's what I believe. It doesn't mean it's going to be fact. So I'm not trying to peddle it as a fact. It's an opinion. And I'm entitled to my opinion, and you're entitled to yours. There, we've got that resolved. That was Kevin McCarthy announcing today. He is informing House Republicans you can start an impeachment inquiry. That's not to start an impeachment. It's an impeachment inquiry, which will be giving them more authority to get records that continue to be kept away from them. But he's going to need support of 218 House Republicans just to authorize the impeachment inquiry. And there are two who claim to be Republican, who are already shaking their head, no, not ready. Who is that and why? I'll break it down for you. First of all, glad to have you back on board with us for our second hour of Larry Connors USA Today on every Monday through Friday right here from 6 to 8 p.m. If by chance you missed the first hour, shame. Well, but I know sometimes you're busy. I understand. But remember, you can always pull up the stream that we put on while we're on the air and or the audio by going to LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. Very simple. And again, as we are on the air, we are streaming video from, and you can find that at LarryConnorsUSA, Facebook or Twitter. Also, NewsTalk STL, Facebook, Twitter, and on Rumble channels. We're available for you. So here's Kevin McCarthy saying, we're now ready to absolutely open this because the American people deserve to know. Now that reminds me, as he even begins that statement, of Dick Nixon, President Nixon, saying, the American people deserve to know the president's not a crook. Well, we found out, may not be a crook, but he did do some crooked things. But McCarthy is saying, we've got evidence.
We know that bank records show that nearly $20 million in payments were directed to the Biden family members and associates through various shell companies. The Treasury Department alone has more than 150 transactions involving the Biden family and other business associates that were flagged as suspicious activity by U.S. banks. Even a trusted FBI informant has alleged a bribe to the Biden family. Biden used his official office to coordinate with Hunter Biden's business partners about Hunter's role in Burisma, a Ukrainian energy company.
And we've never, for the most part, had any doubts that Biden, Hunter Biden, and he even admitted in an interview, so this is not just an opinion. He admitted, I got the job because my last name is Biden, born with a silver spoon in my mouth that said Biden on it. Makes a lot of us want to change our name to Biden, does it not? So you're getting billions of dollars? Or do you want to take all the other trash that comes with it and possible jail time? I don't think so. I'm happy. I'm happy the way it is. But here's something else McCarthy pointed out as he's expressing today that I'm going to authorize the impeachment inquiry. And what he says next has nothing to do that could actually be put on factual trial and hold the president responsible for what he did, not directly. But there's so many tentacles to this beast, it could still wrap him up.
House Republicans have uncovered serious and credible allegations into President Biden's conduct. Taken together, these allegations paint a picture of a culture of corruption. Now, here's what we know so far. Through our investigations, we have found that President Biden did lie to the American people about his own knowledge of his family's foreign business dealings. Eyewitnesses have testified that the president joined on multiple phone calls and had multiple interactions. Dinners resulted in cars and millions of dollars into his son's and his son's business partners.
But he told that to anyone during the campaign trail, to reporters. He told that to the American public that he had nothing to do with it. Not a thing you can do about it. You can't charge him for lying to you. If he wants to lie, he can, and obviously he did. Now, I mentioned to you, well, first of all, I had done this previously, but I probably want to expand it as to who's against this and saying it's not really enough. But before I get to that point, there's something in addition to Biden lying that McCarthy says is a key component of why we're doing and how we have to do it.
Despite these serious allegations, it appears that the president's family has been offered special treatment by Biden's own administration. Treatment that not otherwise would have received if they were not related to the president. These are allegations of abuse of power, obstruction, and corruption. And they warrant further investigation by the House of Representatives.
Well, there is already an erosion inside the House of Representatives. He needs 218 House Republicans to authorize the impeachment inquiry. In the last hour, I named a couple that already have questions. I'm going to name a third here in a moment. But before we do, I want you to hear from Congressman Waltz of Florida, who says, I think this is a good first step.
I think we need to do this the right way. Let's go to the inquiry next. But I mean, the evidence is there. I don't know what vice president or what government official needs dozens of shell companies, needs to have foreign funds from adversarial nations flowing to their relatives. I mean, this stinks to all get up. What I want to see are the actual Biden bank records, the bank records of these companies themselves, these shell LLCs that had no product, no service. I want to get to the bottom of what did all of these people actually get for the money, these millions. And we're seeing more and more and more in terms of Biden's direct engagement. When you have emails from oligarchs thanking Hunter for the time with dad, when you have text messages and timestamp showing Biden there with Hunter when he's texting, you better pay up or else. I mean, it's going beyond circumstantial.
So again, that is the view of Congressman Walsh of Florida. But there are detractors for what we have the House Speaker trying to push forward. One of them being also from Florida, Matt Gaetz. He just delivered on the House floor after McCarthy's announcement. And of course, Gaetz is known to obviously often argue with the Speaker. He said the Speaker's remarks were, quote, a rushed, rattled performance. And he adds, it's not even real. He said this is a baby step following weeks of pressure from House conservatives to do more, that we must move faster. In other words, Gaetz doesn't believe McCarthy is serious about doing this. Well, if he presents it as to open an inquiry into it, I think that's serious. Whether or not it's seen through will be the other issue, but Gaetz wants to just shoot it down right away. And he's one of three Republicans I can pull up right away. The other two, one being Ken Buck of Colorado, Don Bacon of Nebraska. Now, Buck and Bacon are already on record. Bacon, Congressman Bacon of Nebraska said, as of now, I don't support an impeachment inquiry. I think an inquiry should be based on evidence of a crime that points directly to President Biden, or if the president doesn't cooperate by not providing documents. Well, right now, until you do the inquiry, you don't really know anyway, do you? Don't you need to ask the questions? But then on the other side, you also have Ken Buck, not on the other side, but in correlation almost, saying on MSNBC, which obviously they consider him a likable guy because he gets time on their air and he likes being on there, he said the time for impeachment is a time when there's evidence linking President Biden. If there's evidence linking Biden to a high crime or misdemeanor, that doesn't exist now. That is correct. But you're going to have to get information and details to find out. My God, these Republicans, you cannot stonewall all the way. You got to accept, you may call it a baby step, as Gaetz did, but you've got to get it started. If you're not going to even start it, stay home. Speaking of staying home, the North Korean leader is not staying home. He went into Russia to meet with Putin on an ironclad armored train.
You look at the alliance you've got between China, between North Korea, between Iran and Russia as well. And it's something we have to counter. And we haven't done that. We've kind of left Kim Jong-un alone over the last few years, hoping he'd kind of just sit on the sidelines and not do very much. He's always been a bad actor. We've tried to take him off the stage, in other words, isolate him under the last administration. And this administration just ignored him. And there's one thing we found about Kim Jong-un. You can't ignore that man. You can't ignore what he does, because he's trying to do a breakout of technology, advanced nuclear weapons, advanced his ability to have more and better and longer range ICBMs. It's just a real threat. And you look at all these things coming together, and it's a very disturbing development in the area of national security. And it's something we're going to have to address. It's something we are not addressing right now. We're going to have to address in the future of all these nations coming together. And it's a threat to the United States and to the Western world and to the Pacific as well.
And he's talking about Kim Jong-un on that train going from North Korea right into Russia. The visit with Putin and other visitations scheduled. And that, of course, being the former National Security Advisor, General Keith Kellogg. And then we also have the deal that the Biden administration has signed off on and made it public yesterday on the anniversary of 9/11. How shameful could you be? But announcing that we're going to release $6 billion and five Iranians we're holding to Iran in exchange for five Americans being wrongfully detained, but still we're paying a ransom, and Kellogg had a response to that.
And the timing was terrible when it was really announced yesterday on the 22nd anniversary of 9/11. And people need to understand that Iran's not a friend of the West at all. I mean, these are the largest arms supplier to the Russians in their fight against Ukraine right now. They're a very destabilizing force in the Middle East. They're looking towards heading towards a nuclear breakout in the near term. And they're pulling allies away from us. You know, that recent deal that they cut with the Saudis, brokered by the Chinese, to have peace between both of them. This is not good. And then when you look at the outreach they've got to terrorist organizations like Hezbollah, that's not where that money is going. You know, President Biden said, well, the money's going to go to humanitarian efforts. No, it's not. Anybody in their right mind knows exactly where it's going to go. It's going to go to terrorist activities, support of military activities by the Quds Force, which are external operations, and their fight against Israel. So all of this is just not good. It was not good timing. It was a not good, not good release of the money for the Iranians. It doesn't help the West at all.
And it also made every American now a target for any kidnapper, especially from a foreign nation, that maybe we can get something in money. Not certainly from this administration. Congressman Waltz again of Florida on this point saying, You got to remember what's going on here.
Let's remind everyone, in addition to the billions of dollars, they're also getting five Iranians back. And I can't get a straight answer on who these Iranians were or what they did or what their value is. But, you know, I mean, to the point, there's only upside for taking Americans hostage. There's no downside. And while my heart breaks for these families and I'm sure that their hearts are beating through their chests right now to get their loved ones back, this is only going to incentivize future hostage taking. Until we raise the costs, until every terrorist group, until every dictator and regime out there is afraid to take Americans hostage because the consequences will be so high and so painful for them, it's only going to continue. And that's what's such a shame about this transaction.
And do you have to give $6 billion? Well, Waltz says, remember another exchange that was carried out and no money?
Let's just roll back the tape just a few years when Mike Pompeo came back with three Americans that the North Koreans were holding, and they gave them back in order to be able to engage in talks with us. You know what? You send a message that you don't get to talk to the United States. You don't do transactions. You know, we are going to crank down on your economy. We're going to raise the costs until every single American you're holding is free. Instead, it's the other way around with these guys. You know, it's what can we give? What more can they put on the table from this White House in order to get Americans free? It's the exact wrong approach. It's an appeasement approach. And more Americans are going to be taken, mark my words, within the next year. Because, again, they always get something in the end from this administration.
That we know is a fact. And, of course, right now, we also have a lot of terrorists in our nation from China, maybe from the Middle East, from Russia. How do we know they're here? Well, because we're catching them on cameras at night crossing in clandestine fashion. They're coming in not wanting to be noted, seen, recorded. How many do we have? We have identified at least 150. Others we don't know. And we don't know where they are once they come in. My next guest is going to break it all out for us. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
As we were marking the 22nd anniversary of 9/11, when Islamic terrorist attacks killed nearly 3,000 Americans, Biden's administration pretty much overseeing a surge in illegal aliens crossing our border that are on the government's terrorist watch list. Something like we've identified at least 150. And Alejandro Mayorkas has recently testified that he doesn't know where those who have come in that we did not catch might be. That's scary. Joining us now, Laura Reese, Director of the Border Security Immigration Center at the Heritage Foundation, 26 years experience in immigration and homeland security. Glad to have you aboard again, Laura.
Thanks for having me on, Larry.
I'm looking at a piece that you and your colleague, Simon Hankinson, wrote, basically that, and I love the title, Congress must address the border crisis before spending another dime from taxpayers.
Yes, Congress has a real choice right now as it's in, well, appropriation season's over, but as Congress does every year now, they wait until the very end in hopes to jam a multi-trillion dollar bill through under pressure. And so September 30th is when the funding ends for this fiscal year, and Congress needs to act differently. They need to defund the Biden administration's open border agenda and operations. And too few Republicans are calling for, refusing to fund it.
Why are we not getting enough Republicans stepping up and saying no?
One, I think it's just easier to do what's always done, which is frustrating. I wish I had a dollar for every time I talk to a Hill staffer whose response is, well, that's been in every bill for years, or that's how we've always done it. And, I mean, it's just zero creativity, and it's rather lazy. And our nation is as in crisis. They can't keep acting the same way. And so we need a lot more courageous members of Congress to put their foot down and say no more.
So how many, what is the estimate that you go with as to how many illegals have entered the country that we know of during the Biden administration? I've heard from 2.5 million, maybe up to 10 million north of that number.
Well, what we know is the encounters of illegal and inadmissible aliens by CBP nationwide, and that is over 7 million during the Biden administration, plus 1.7 million known gotaways. Now, what isn't known is the exact number of aliens the administration has released into the U.S. of that 7 million. We know they've released most of them because that is their philosophy, and they haven't been detaining them, and they won't report deportation numbers. We know it's low, but it's why we can't get an exact handle. So it is several million that have been released into the U.S.
And we've got New York City Mayor Adams complaining, we're getting 10,000 a month here, as if that's a big number compared to 7 million, as you mentioned. Well, but we're getting, and we're seeing blue state sanctuary cities and states proclaim we've got too many, we can't handle them, we need federal dollars. And now the president is indicating, I think I'm going to issue an order that all illegals stay in Texas.
Yeah, this reveals a few things. One, just how empty virtue signaling of being sanctuary jurisdiction really is. When you hit the hard, cold reality of large volumes of people, no community can handle that. And it doesn't even matter what country they're from. It's just the sheer number of people. And so Mayor Adams whines about that, but he has yet to terminate his policy of being a sanctuary city. He just wants the federal government to do something about that, whether that means taking some of them and resettling them elsewhere, whether that means the federal government giving these aliens work permits faster. But the net result is all that does is encourage more illegal immigration, because a work permit is exactly why so many come here in the first place. So he's not serious about ending this. He just doesn't want the headache.
Yeah, that's true. Now, there are pathways for asylum for some who are coming, but they're choosing not to do that, even if they're from Ukraine. They could apply for asylum and come legally, but they seem to be coming across the southern border and others that Cuba, I mean, they could apply for asylum. That's part of our immigration plan, but this being ignored. Why? Because it's easier to walk across.
Exactly. If it's easier and faster to come illegally, then that's what people will do. They make rational decisions. And until consequences are applied and it isn't faster and easier to come illegally, their behavior is not going to change. And we need to get back to a system of our refugee admissions program, which is done outside of the U.S., where we have time to vet these people and verify their claims, and then decide while they are still located outside the U.S., yes, we're going to grant you refugee protection, or no, we're not. And they can also go to any number of countries. Instead, we draw them all to the U.S., we let them into the U.S., and then they may or may not claim asylum. But in most cases, that's not why they were coming here. They weren't really fleeing for their lives. They were coming for economic reasons.
And on a humanitarian basis, we understand that. You want to do better for your family. But that's not the intent of our immigration process. You point out, you and Simon Hankinson in your piece point out, you were talking about how many are actually removed. You stated out of the millions you just noted, less than 30,000 criminal illegal aliens were deported. Less than 30,000?
Yes, that is what DHS reported in their budget and what they have requested for future budgets each year. So they're simply not serious about enforcing the law. And remember, the ICE priorities memo or enforcement priorities memo that Secretary Mayorkas signed, it went to court and he actually won on, said that our priorities for immigration enforcement are going to be 5 terrorists, some aggravated felons, and those who enter illegally after November of 2020. And yet, when they only asked for about 30,000 money to deport about 30,000 criminals, then we can't even take their enforcement memo at face value.
Since you brought up Mayorkas in July hearing in front of the House Judiciary Committee, he said he was unable to state definitively where those on the terrorist watch list illegals were encountered at the border, and he cannot say if they've been released into American communities.
And he's been asked this question so many times, and members of Congress even sent him a letter in advance of that hearing saying, we're going to ask you this again.
Yeah.
And he still wouldn't answer it. He doesn't want to answer it. He refuses to answer it. So he's just stalling. But the statistics are terrible. A CBP report that so far in fiscal year, and we've got two more months to report, 149 terrorist screening encounters have happened just from the Border Patrol. And in normal years, it's less than a handful. So they are off the charts, and this is the real threat, as you opened talking about 9/11. This is the real threat Americans need to be aware of And this administration is running on dumb luck. And at some point, their luck's going to run out.
That's an excellent point. And for Mayor Adams, again, just noting the 22nd anniversary of 9/11, if terrorists in this country, they're going to go at prime centers like New York City, Times Square, the financial markets there, plus other capitals across the nation or whatever they choose. And we don't have any idea of how we're going to. They only have to be right once. We have to be right every time.
That's right. And when there is 100 or 1.7 million known gotaways, these are the people that aren't accepting that free transportation ticket anywhere in the U.S. because they don't want to be fingerprinted, because they're either an aggravated felon, they're smuggling drugs, or they are a known and suspect or suspected terrorist.
Well, of course, they've also done away with the image of thousands crossing the border at one time by giving them pre-pass authorization in Mexico, that they pre-sign that they have been cleared.
Right, and even that narrative is no longer working. So the past 2 months, the numbers of illegal aliens crossing between the ports, so they're not taking advantage of that port parole shell game this administration has offered, excuse me, even those numbers have risen to outpace the port parole numbers. So Mayorkas has lost the narrative. That's why they are reporting the prior month statistics later and later in a Friday afternoon news dump. And it's also why he's been running away from reporters on this very issue.
Back to the original statement in your article that you and Simon put together, not one more dime, and yet we're working on every dollar we can come up with and those we don't even have for the security of Ukraine.
Yes, it's both can be true. You know, we can support Ukraine defeating Russia, but the fact remains we've given that country billions of dollars and no account or audit. And we know that President Biden is corrupt in taking money from Ukraine. So that deserves a very bright, hot spotlight in any future dollar that's given.
Well, the drug cartels and the child traffickers, they're loving it.
Right. And meanwhile, the White House is demanding more money for so-called border security because they have drained all their coffers on spending it on bringing in, processing, transporting millions of illegal aliens. And now they want more money to continue. And Congress needs to say no.
Laura Race, again, thank you for your time. Director of the Border Security Immigration at the Heritage Foundation. Expert, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Larry.
We'll do it again. Coming up, a CNN report on the voters Biden needs and he may not get. Stand by. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Hit the road, Jack, don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road,
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Hit the road, Joe. Hit the road, Joe. Sorry, I just got into it. You know, it's hit the road, Jack. I've always liked that Ray Charles, and I like it a lot. Thanks, Quentin, for putting that up. And I took advantage of it to say, hit the road, Joe. I know. I played it right into my hands, didn't it? Well, there was a piece at CNN written by one of their commentators, and I swear, unless I just have overlooked it, I cannot find the name of anyone attached to this article. And I don't know if that's on purpose or not, but I've gone through the article, I pulled it, and went back to check the original source to see, did I overlook it? Did I cut it off? I've got all the pages here in front of me. If you're watching, I'm going through all these pages. I'm trying to see again, is there a name anywhere buried in here somewhere? Normally you'd expect a byline, a credit line at the top or at least the bottom. But that reminds me that there's a thin line between credit and blame. Maybe they don't want their name on it. They want the story out there, but they don't want their name. It's introduced in the CNN piece as if this should be different than anything else they generally do. They call it an analysis, an opinion. Most of the CRT that they put on is an opinion. They're from time to time, they do an actual factual story. But other times, they can decide, along with PETA, that cows are responsible for wildfires or whatever. But here's the title on this thing. Again, this is CNN. It's on their page. You can look it up yourself, but I'll share it with you right now. Let me get the exact title the way they presented it, because that's what caught my eye. The analysis that they had stated when they put it up. Analysis, the voters Biden needs more than ever. It raised my interest. So let's go through this thing. It points out that, and I'm reading partly directly from it, and I'll let you know when I really vary from it, but throughout his political career, President Joe Biden has unfailingly presented himself as a product and champion of the middle class. We all know that. He's called himself Lunch Bucket Joe, right? Ride the train. More times than ever made trips, talked to people who were dead, stood outside World Trade Center the day after 9/11, all that stuff. So it's hard to tell what's fact or fiction. But they continue and say, as president, he has relentlessly touted his economic plan as a blue-collar blueprint to rebuild America and heighten the number of new jobs tied to his signature policy initiatives that do not require a four-year college degree. It's interesting they don't add at that point. And for those who want a four-year degree, we'll pay for it for you. And there's something that we should focus on. There was a time in high schools that they had shop class. Usually boys, sometimes girls would go. They would go and they would learn different things in shop about how to build something, how to repair a faucet, a toilet, maybe even work on cars. They were coming out of school with not only a high school degree, but maybe something they could use if they didn't go to college. And not all of them that go to high school are college material. They have no interest in it. They're not going to do any well, but they can go out and become nowadays a carpenter in some of these jobs I've heard lately. If they really want you and their industry is short in them, $60+ an hour. There are not many college graduates coming out and getting that kind of job, not with their degree. They continue in their piece that Biden was telling a union audience on Labor Day earlier this month, in reference to Donald Trump, of course. When the last guy was here, he looked at the world from Park Avenue. Well, I look at it from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I look at it from Claymont, Delaware. From my beach house in Rehoboth. Well, he didn't add that. I did that. And went on to say, but even as Biden stresses such arguments, a combination of opportunity and vulnerability may be pushing him in 2024 toward less reliance on blue-collar workers, greater dependence on better educated, more affluent voters, especially if there's a reach match with Trump. Do you see what they just did? We're the common people's party. We're for the common people. And we're going to tax the rich, make them pay. But he's going to court the rich because the blue people, blue collar worker, will not support him, apparently. In fact, they add that his upscale voters are widening because they say the polls show that compared to working class voters, the working class voters are more likely to view Trump as a threat to American democracy, as well as more likely support abortion rights. But at the same time, Biden's position with working class voters is eroding largely because they're frustrating over the strain of the economy and inflation. Oh, it's the analysis. Thanks, Quentin found it. It was written by Ronald Brownstein. Don't know who he is other than a CNN writer or something of that nature. But at least thanks, Quentin, for digging it up. Did you find it on the article? And I just, I'm an idiot. He said he did. I just overlooked it. I'm an idiot. I'll be the first to admit it. He already knew it, and you did too. So nobody got anything out of that, did they? But he's talking about also the two biggest headwinds confronting Biden, as I've written, and he underlined it. In other words, I told you, as I've written, are doubts that he's too old for the job. Doubts? I don't think there are any doubts, but he says there are. And unhappiness over the economy. No kidding. Particularly inflation. And he adds a concern about Biden's age largely transcends the educational divide. In a new CNN poll, more than 7 in 10 adults with and without a four-year degree said they do not believe he has, quote, the stamina and sharpness to serve effectively as president. That's inside the CNN column, written as Quentin identified for me by Ronald Brownstein. And they point to a Democrat pollster, Jay Campbell, who studies economic studies, conducting surveys for CNBC. And he said the share of adults earning less than $5,000 annually, $5,000 annually just isn't what it used to be, is it? He said those who earn less than that say inflation has had a lot of impact on their finances. Double the share who said it had only a little effect. And then when you get to those earning $100,000 or more, the share that said it had only a little impact was nearly as large as those who said it was having a lot. In other words, it didn't seem to change, did it? Biden's ad's been emphasizing the slowdown to inflation. But as their expert here is quoted, moderating inflation only, and I love this line, this is perfect. This is when you tell your kid, you touch the stove, you're going to find out it's still hot, but it's off. We'll go ahead and touch it, find out. Here's what he's saying. Moderating inflation only means prices are rising less quickly. It doesn't mean they're returning to their levels previously. So no, the stove is off, but it's still hot. You don't believe me? Well, your parents do know something, and I'm telling you, put your hand on the stove, you will find out. Let me see if he came up with any conclusion before I wrap up and turn to another subject here for you. I didn't get a chance to go through all that. You'd be surprised how much of this show is put together as we're on the air because I'm scanning everything all the time. Sometimes something will pull my attention away from what I had planned. One of their other experts believes Biden's best weapons to disqualify Trump, if they face off again, will be abortion. It could be. And especially since now in Mexico, dominant Catholic in Mexico, they've had a ruling that abortion will no longer be criminalized in the country of Mexico, in most of the states of Mexico. That's contrary to their religious base for Mexico. And he adds, all for Biden's focus on recapturing non-college voters. There's also the argument that Trump would unleash chaos if he returned to the White House. Was there chaos the first time? No. The economy was better. Jobs were up. Unemployment down. Minority groups' jobs unemployment rate went way down, lower than ever before. They're really trying to refer you back, you know, to January 6th. And now there's report that another state is considering possibly filing some kind of charge against Trump. All right, enough with the politics. There's another tragedy in the news, and it does deserve our attention. This tragedy surpasses what we've seen in Hawaii. And it's not getting a lot of coverage, and that's why I want to focus some time on it. Unfortunately, in this business for decades, I have known, and I think I've shared with you before, I certainly have with students coming into the business, there is an unstated rule, and I'm going to make these numbers up, but you're going to get the gist of it. And I know for some it's going to be considered shameful, but it's also a reality. If a bus overturns in Colorado today and five people are killed, that's going to be a big story for the nation, right? If a bus overturns in England and kills 20 people, it might get a mention on national news. If a bus runs off the cliff in Chile killing 80 on board, maybe a mention. In other words, one American worth 5 or 10 English, worth 20, 40 Italians, worth 60,000 Chinese. You see how that goes? It's not that important, except for those people. Well, they've had a storm hit Libya's northeast. At least 2,000 have died. 10,000 believed missing. The fire we had in Maui at last death check was less than 200. I believe it was holding at 160, but they have some missing. That got a lot of attention from the state news coverage in the U.S. and around the world to that extent, maybe because many know Hawaii is a destination resort area. So it got a lot of attention, but I have not seen a lot of attention regarding the Libya disaster. In one city that had the worst devastation, and the Libyan health minister says it's catastrophic, whole neighborhoods believe washed away, 6,000 missing. And then they've got numerous dead bodies outside the morgues on the sidewalks. All of it happening yesterday, September 11. Same thing with an earthquake in that part of the world. You'll get some news on it. Keep in mind those numbers stand for an individual each time. And I don't care about their ethnic, their religious, political, racial makeup. They're human beings suffering a tragedy. And they would deserve your prayers, just as I hope you prayed for those in Maui. And continue. But here's where we are in our nation right now. And it was exemplified over the weekend when the 19-year-old American Coco Gauff became her first U.S. Open victory. She is pictured with her knees in front of her chair. She's down on her knees, head in her hand. Her hand's actually in a clasp in front of her, and her head down. And the CNN analyst said, well, she's taking time to take it all in. Tony Dungy, a former Hall of Famer NFL NBC analyst, said, no, you're wrong. I hate to break it to you. She's not soaking it in. She's praying. She's been very open about her Christian faith, and it's obvious that's what she's doing. But they didn't want to say she's praying. She's just taking it in. On one other note on the U.S. Open, when they came to the finals last weekend, they did not play the U.S. national anthem. As always, I thank you for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.